Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Joel Elston here. Today is Thursday, February the 7th, 2019. It's 8 a.m. in New York, 5 a.m. in Los Angeles, 1 p.m. in London, and Sydney, Australia is at 12 midnight. But wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I'm happy to welcome back one of my favorite co-hosts because I've been doing it with him longer than any of the others, and probably because I just like talking to him. So, Joel, good to have you back here on a Thursday morning.
It's great to be here, Walt. It's one of my favorite days of the week. It's in the top seven for sure, and I look forward to it.
Well, that's so good to hear. It's in the top seven. I like that, along with Tuesday and Monday and Sunday.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny. We were alluding to, before the podcast started, also this wonderful post that you posted a while back about time, because I was complaining I couldn't find my clock on my computer. And I got to just ask you to just kind of regale people with what happened with that post, because that was just a really funny post.
To be honest with you, you mentioned that, and how long ago was that post been?
It's been a while.
I don't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, it was the one where Justin asked you what time it was.
Yeah.
And there's like clocks all over the place.
We had
and
this
so
dialogue
forth.
About does anybody really know what time it is? And I don't remember the exact dialogue.
Oh, okay.
But it was awesome.
Well, the dialogue was something like, you know, well, do you have your cell phone? You know, is there a clock on the wall?
Yeah. There's multiple. We become so used to one thing, and you realize, like you're saying, I don't have my clock. Well, but I have 19 other devices in my direct sight that will tell me what time it is.
And your sudden exasperation says, "I'm just asking you what time it is."
Yeah. We have many of those conversations where they go, and it's just that it's like, no, that's not where we were going. That's the point. So.
It's a funny thing whenever a parent is confronted with behaviors of their own that show up in their child, but it's equally frustrating for the child when they recognize a parental behavior that drives them crazy and it keeps coming back over and over again. It's yet another way to remind us of how the law of attraction works, but not necessarily the way we want it to.
Well, that's the point. The law of attraction, and that's sort of the lesson in all that. It works as in either direction or any direction. Mm. It doesn't just only go to the positive, or it's what we want or what we don't want. And that's the baffling beauty of it all.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we have to really learn to be deliberate creators. This is a Q&A. So if you're one of the live stream listeners listening as we're recording this and you have something you'd like us to bring up and discuss, type a question into the comments section and we will be happy to do that. I'm seeing people saying hello and so forth, and that's great. But until I see a question there, I figure we'll just invent our own questions because we're good at that. In fact, you and I actually, we invented the process of name a topic with 3 seconds to go and then go. So
that's the way my brain works, and it's my favorite way to do it because I'm surprised by what it is, and so it's like, wow, that's a great topic. And some of our best shows have been truly last minute, because in the beginning we would try to come up with a topic the week before, a few days before, and you'd email it to me or whatever, and then finally we just realized our best shows were the last minute ones.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really true.
It really helps because you're responding. I'm responding without thought, and really you get a much more in-depth feeling or reaction to it. And I like that. It's the way my brain functions best.
I think there's also the aspect that when you allow a question to come to the surface, bypassing the logical mind, it's a better question. And it's kind of a tough skill to learn to just, because literally you have to just start talking without having any idea what you're going to say. And then as it starts to come out, the question forms itself. And after the question comes out, your logical mind says, "What? What was that? What was that?"
Well, it's funny you said that. I was at a conference, an addiction conference in Macon, Georgia one time. And there was they had this speaker that was going to come in. He's a world-renowned speaker on addiction, a really good guy. Mm. And there were, I don't know, 250 people in the audience, and they were waiting. And I realized, you know, I was in the just part of the audience, and I was good friends with the guy running it. And I could tell something was going on because it's just they were 5 minutes behind start, and I could tell he's a little frantic. And about 10 minutes into it, he said, "I apologize." He said, the plane he was coming in has been delayed. We were thinking he was going to make it in time. He's not going to be able to make it. And in front of the entire 250 people, he said, however, I'm going to impose on a dear friend and ask if he would talk and maybe share something and say the public speaker as well. And, you know, I had literally no preparation. And I needed to fill 45 minutes. And I do this all the time, so I'm not trying to act like it's that big of a deal. Because
but
I do it
45 minutes, 45 minutes is a long time to talk. So that is, I don't care if you've done it
really
before,
is.
That's still a pretty big deal.
And I have sort of some default, you know, concepts. And one of my favorite topics of all time is the power of the inner dialogue and how it affects your perspective and how that affects the law of attraction. And so that's my go-to what do you do when you have nothing else to do concept.
Mm-hmm.
And, I gave a talk and I talked for 45 minutes. It was really, again, without tooting my own horn, so to speak, it was really on point. And I went through step by step, and afterwards I had 15 or 20 minute, questions. And finally the guy had to cut it off, and he said, "I know that everybody else needs questions." And I literally, I don't know how many. I got several emails. I would say probably 20 emails from attendees in the country. Just, I cannot believe that you didn't prepare for that. One gentleman, a conspiratorialist, believed that all that was set up to make it look that good. But he said, because it was too well done. And So that spur of the moment impromptu stuff, I think, especially when you're vibrating emotionally on the right level with the law of attraction, it's when it could be the most powerful as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree completely. And we do have a question, by the way, and also a comment. First I have to finish copying this over here so I can see it in my little text thing, because if I try to read Facebook comments, I can never read them. I want to share first Sarah's comment, because it was not a question. It was actually just describing what happened. She says, "So today it hit me. I've not been grateful enough. So I have made my list and I've been working on saying thank you, thank you, thank you for many things, for my eyes, my hearing, my legs, my voice, my family, my animals, etc. And so the last few days I've been making big efforts to be grateful. And already in one day, my car insurance company calls me, and guess what? They're reducing my monthly payments." Cool.
Wow.
That's good.
Wow. And what an incredible realization when you, the idea that, we don't, you know, you think you're positive. Some of the most negative people I know will tell me how positive they are. And and if it's not in a counseling role, it's not my job to go, no, you're not. Interestingly enough, in the last few days, I posted a one of my favorite quotes from, the power of now is, when you complain, you make yourself a victim. Mm. Leave the situation, change the situation, or accept the situation. All else is madness.
Yeah.
So the, you know what I read in that? The first one that I read, I love the person that commented, so I'm not by any means suggesting that this is, but the first thing is, there was a quote that was nothing but just complaining. And I'm like, I almost hit a laugh signal, a laugh response, like it was a joke, because I can't believe, but what this person was responding to was, the leave yourself, or, you know, leave the situation, change the situation, or accept it. It's even within that sentence, I'm looking at the complaining pieces, the whiny piece of what you're attracting. Mm. The other person was looking at how was I victimized by this person who was apparently evil. And it's not right or wrong, but we do have a filter for stuff of what is an event? And so much of your perspective, what took place, what happened, and what are we going to do about it?
Yes.
Versus, you know, this happened to me. And so when you realize I'm not grateful enough for where I'm at, and you start living that, you see immediate results. I don't think there's a more effective, instantaneous change in life than going from a negative or even a neutral mindset to a positive mindset. I don't think things change any faster than that one step. And I know you pretty much agree with that theory.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Sarah added on, not only did her insurance company reduce her monthly payments, but she got a tax rebate and won $10 on a scratch card. It was a pretty good week.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, I mean, I liked it. And again, and not only did those things happen, but her recognition of
yes.
those things happening are going to invite more of that and focus on that, because it is incredibly easy. And as we talk about all the time, of being conditioned to look at the negative, it's just what it is. Our society does it. It's sad to me that we are a nation that has become a filter for negative, when in reality, we have so much incredible stuff going on despite what is being reported or what we're focusing on.
Mm-hmm. And it can be a big challenge, too. I mean, depending on where we are on that scale, it can be a pretty big challenge to make that shift. But it is such a worthwhile shift. And so I find even when I'm struggling with stuff and, you know, like day to day, what's my mood going to be the next day? And I don't know. Even when I'm in that zone, I'm just striving every single day, do whatever I can to get up into the higher levels, because it always pays off. And, you know, do I always succeed? I don't always succeed, but I get there fairly often. And when I do, things actually do get better. They really do.
Yes.
Now, Nasha has a question. She says, how do we make a list of things with an open heart? This is like a list of like the top five things to manifest into our lives. I think she kind of answered the question in her question, but how do we make a list?
Well, I think that we, and every individual has to figure out what works and how to do this themselves. But the way I look at it is, what do you find yourself focusing on during a day? If you know, these are made up statistics, but they're roughly right.
Sure.
I'm not going to pull them up, but
right.
We have anywhere from, you know, 50 to 100,000 thoughts in a day. And I use that wide range because there's people that will argue over everything. So somewhere within that, that is what an average person has, number of thoughts. And within those thoughts, something like 90% of those thoughts are the same thoughts day to day. And 90% of those thoughts are negative in source. You're thinking it, you're fearful of, or you're worried about. So number one, most often that we use the top two, financial stuff and relationship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's where your energy is, then we need to learn to, on my list with an open heart of what I'm grateful for, I need to see where my mindset is. If you're unemployed, and that is a big stressor for you, then employment becomes one of the things, you know, what am I grateful for?
Right.
I'm grateful for my ability to maintain and have a job. I'm grateful for my ability to look for a job. I'm grateful for the job that I'm about to begin. You know, all those things, there's different methods of doing that. So sort of whatever your subconscious will let you know what it's thinking about, and those are usually the top five. And you've talked about this, and one of my favorite comments from one of our listeners over the last couple of months has been the gentleman who wrote, I've been working on the law of attraction, and I don't know why it's not working, because I really am focused on my finances. And then he said, well, by the way, everything else is fantastic. It's gotten a lot better, but I love that so much, because it was so, first of all, so sincere.
Yeah.
But it also pointed out where your the resistance was the money. Once he was letting go of the other stuff, everything, my health is perfect, it's great. Just the money wasn't there. And it's like, wow. So you see how that goes. So when you're making your list and you're doing that, it's what is in your world. There isn't a way to, you can't force your way away from what, where your mind is at often, because those are the things that are real to you. If you're not going to be able to pay your mortgage, in the next 20 days, and it's due, then all your power is not going to get you away from thinking about that. How you can do it is reframe how that's an event in your life. And that's really important.
Yes, the reframing is a huge piece, because that reframing is how we change the way we feel about something. And when we change the way we feel about something, that's when we get into that space like Sarah was in, where everything starts to work because you're feeling good because you're so grateful for what's going on. So, yeah.
Right. And it, one of my clients recently came in, and they have been struggling financially, and their mortgage was, and I use a mortgage reason for an example, that their mortgage was due, and they've never missed a payment, always been really good, but they're transitioning jobs, and these, I'm concerned that I'm not going to be able to make my mortgage payment this month.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were processing that. He said, I don't want to be concerned about it, but it's a real thing. And as we processed it, I said, well, first of all, there's a really good chance you're going to miss your mortgage payment now because you're concerned about missing your mortgage payment, as weird as that sounds. What we're going to do is, number one, what action steps can we take?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we stepped away from the emotionality of the fear of that, I knew that the answer was going to be there because, he's lived in this home for 10 years, never missed a payment. I said, you're just simply going to go home. You're going to call the mortgage company, tell them that there's a life transition going on. What programs do they have in place to get you through? Well, I mean, it didn't take him 10 minutes on the phone. They were wonderful. They said, give you a 90-day window to get things reorganized. There'll be no, it'll just be put on the back end of everything. It was an incredible deal for people who have never had a problem before, and it instantly relieved his issue. And it turns out he got employed the next day, ended up being able to make the payment, and the program never needed to be implemented.
Wow.
So you see how all that goes. He said, and he believed, and there'll be people that'll debate this, but it's fine. Sure. But he really believed that once he took the fear of not making it away and knew he was going to be fine no matter what, and they even offered him with the equity he had in his home, said, sir, if you need a home equity loan, we can get you $25,000 in 2 days if you need it. So that, he said, no, I don't need that. But that relieved him even further, taking out of that fear-based thing. His bank was very supportive, and by the time it was all done, he never needed to access all that, able to make his payment, and it all went away. And he related it to the change of attitude changed everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree completely. Yes. Well, I mean, that's law of attraction, clearly. But the fact is, the moment that he changed his mindset, look how quickly that new job showed up. I mean, bang!
That's the piece that was just so amazing to him, was instantly, the next day, I mean, getting a call, and, I forget the exact details, but it was something along the lines that he had interviewed for this job like 3 weeks before, didn't hear, assumed he didn't get it. It is a very, really good paying job. And so everything worked out exactly as it could, best it could, just with his best as he's changed that. But it was after he made the call to the mortgage company, and he immediately was relieved when they gave him that option. They gave him they changed his attitude. He felt actually grateful for it. And that reminded him, you've had 10 years of never missing a payment. We're not going to we're not going to mess with you or bug you or whatever you need to do. You just let us know, and we're here for you. We'll do whatever we need to do. It really reinforced, he was feeling so negative about everything. He's like, God, these people really value my business. So it's a cascading effect. So it's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And Sarah, by the way, who had all those wonderful things happen when she expressed her gratitude, she still finds that there's another thing that she's struggling with and she wants her advice on. So let me read to you what she typed up for us. She says, so today in work, I told someone they were negative and not to be so selfish. She says, I'm struggling to even be around negative people. I don't even want to be near it or hear negative comments or conversations. And she wants to know, how do you deal with someone who is bringing negative vibes to your space? She says she works in an office, and sometimes They're just sitting next to her, and she has to sit there for 7.5 hours with them and have no choice but to listen. What do you do?
I'll refer to, and I'll recommend, and I'm sure, obviously, our listeners and our Facebook friends are they're attuned to the law of attraction.
Right.
Rhonda in The Secret speaks about situations in the workplace. What we have to do is we have to look at the situation and see what can I do. The idea that I'm around a negative person, that person, all you can do, you can't force someone else to not be negative.
Right.
What you can do is reframe how you're perceiving and how you respond to the negative people. That sounds incredibly easy. It's not. It's a very hard concept to get, but once I learned this working with children a lot, especially kids that have been through a lot of trauma. They often are they act out horribly, and nobody wants to be around them, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So when you're around super negative people, you can't make them not be negative, and you're in a job that is unlikely, or you probably wouldn't want to leave, or it's not worth doing that. But all you can do is reframe how you're looking at them and remove their power. Because when somebody angers you, the truth is your response to what they're doing, once you take their power away, they become irrelevant. And I know in the workplace setting, you cringe when you hear their negativity, you cringe when all that happens, but you can work on your responses to that. One of my clients has a noise canceling earphones that he wears until he has to, and again, don't know the work environment, but until he's required to engage, he wears those for that exact reason, for the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to find a sort of a workaround for your situation, and it takes the negative energy that's being placed out there. You have to accept it on some level. You have to give it power before it can upset you. When you don't have that when you become impervious to that negative energy, it can be placed out all the time. Now, I know what I'm talking about is theory. I'm not trying to say this workplace environment is the best conducive place to have, where you're at. If it's a job you love and it's good paying and you don't want to leave, then you have to figure out a way to make it work. And mm-hmm. then eventually when you change your attitude toward it, the law of attraction will respond, and it will have to change in some way. I don't know how it will change. It could change that person leaving, another job or a promotion or a different environment for you. But so much of it is how we respond and how we look at it. And we can only deal with the stuff that is in our direct control. I cannot force anyone to not be negative. I can only control how that negativity affects me.
Yes. Exactly right. Although I will say this, and this is actually kind of a fun little experiment to try. What you can try to do is before you go into work, like immediately before, the first 10 minutes before you actually walk in the door, you can take that image of that person, whoever that person is who's so negative, put that person in your mind and try to imagine that person being the happiest that they can possibly be. And just being a completely different person, and they're so friendly to everybody else, and they're so respectful, all the things that they're not during the regular time that you're actually working with them. Just, you know, and as crazy as it sounds, just imagine that and play it out and get excited about it. I can't guarantee that what's going to happen is that they'll turn into that person. What I can guarantee is they will produce a different behavior of some kind. And that's the fun part, watching to see what behavior changes they end up making, not realizing that you're putting out all this positive stuff about them. It doesn't make the negativity go away necessarily, and it doesn't make it any more easy to deal with, but it does make it easy to see I do at least have some influence on somebody if I look at it in a positive way. And I'm sorry, go ahead, what you're going to say.
You're really onto something there too, Walt. One of the things that happens is when I'm around somebody that's very negative, and I've done this a long time, I think the concept of, for me, again, personal life, when I'm looking at it, number one, I'm like, okay, at some point in this person's life, the negativity has worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten the response they wanted by being negative. So that's
exactly
how they developed it.
So
I don't give people what they're seeking from their negative response. I don't reinforce that negative response. So I have developed a very, very, thick skin in a sense. So when somebody is trying to be negative and, you know, I'm not responding, they are going to be required. If you're going to deal with me, you're going to be required at some point to come up with some way of operating that's not negative, because you're not going to be able to function in my world with me being that negative. I just don't put myself around negative people. Now,
exactly.
I know in a work, I'm not in that kind of work environment, so I understand. But you also can't reward their negativity by showing a reaction.
Yes.
One of the things that for years, my oldest son TJ, I adopted him from foster care, and it was a very he was a very difficult case when I first got him. And he would get into these really mean rages, and he would never physically attack. I mean, he's tiny, but he would just scream and yell. And my response, everybody before used to get angry at him and escalate and try to out scream him. And the louder he got, the more quiet I got.
Mm.
And I would whisper even. And like, he one day came in and he goes, "I can't believe the life has screwed me up so much." Blah, blah, blah. And he was just really, and he had a really difficult life. So I completely understand it, that his view of it, it's a really screwed up life. And somebody, another family member had disappointed him, and he was very mad. And so he was just screaming. He said, "I hate you too. And I hate everything that goes on, and you're part of the problem." And I said, "I'm sorry you feel that way." And then, "Oh, don't try to use psychology on me." No, I'm not really. I really am sorry. And I got softer and softer, and he would have to stop his rant to hear what I was saying.
Yeah.
And then when he would stop, I would talk in a normal tone and not try to argue with him. And I'm like, "You know, buddy, I can't imagine how hard upset you'd be." And then he would start escalating and not talk further again. So I changed the frame of my response. And he eventually, those fits went away after a couple, because it didn't serve him. It wasn't getting him what he needed for.
Exactly.
It's like people who are always negative and being the victim, when they quit doing that, is only when it quits working. I mean, we all do what works for us. And when people stop rewarding the victim mentality, or that negative mentality, when I say rewarding, by them getting what they want, or getting a response from you, they're seeking that. It's like somebody's pressing your button. You have to allow that button to be pressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our power exists.
Yep. Shelley Epperly, who does the Monday evening podcast with me, has also logged in, and she asked a follow-up along the same line. She says, "Don't you all think that if you start pointing out all the positives to those people, it helps to either see things better or they'll stop talking to you entirely?"
Right. Yes. Well, one of the things, I irritate so many negative people so bad with my positivity that they don't want to be there. They don't want to be around. Why do I want to listen to that guy? Because no matter what I say, he's going to turn. You know, I had this one interaction that this is a true. I posted this on Facebook the other day too. This is hilarious. My son Justin, as you know, our audience knows, I adopted Justin also a couple years ago, and he's 13 now, and he's doing really, really well. So he was at a friend's house. Walt, this is hilarious. And he's at a friend's house, and the friend is his mom is there. He's a single mom, and she is a single mom. And so Justin was there, and why she felt the need to discuss this in front of the two boys, I don't know, but she was frustrated with her ex or something, and she goes, she looks at both the boys and goes, "You know, the hardest thing you can do is be a single parent." And so Justin, and he's telling me the story, and he didn't realize what he had told her, but Justin said, "You know, my dad's a single parent. It doesn't look that hard. Maybe you should give him a call and ask him what he does." Well, I tried not to laugh, and I said, well, "What did she say?" And she goes, "Oh, she just quit talking." And I'm like, it wasn't the response she wanted.
That's right.
And second, I don't know why she felt the need to say that to two 13-year-old boys, one of those boys being the, her son, whose dad is the one she's complaining about.
Yep.
But besides that, it goes to that. When you don't get that reward, I told, and I've said this before, and this is not in by any means politically correct, so I apologize ahead of time.
Oh, no.
Always email Walt at, you know, at the station, if you LOA today.net.
I appreciate how you always just redirect that to me. It's so heartwarming to me.
Yeah, exactly.
That you're doing.
and so that is a much bigger topic than this. But one of the things that happens when my son Chris one time came home from school and he said, "I was bullied today." And I said, "Well, that's an interesting choice." And he said, "What?" I said, "That's an interesting choice." He said, "I don't think you understand." I go, "No, you were bullied." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what did you do about it?" And he said, "Well, nothing. I was just bullied." And I said, "Well, you tell a teacher." And we went through the whole thing. I said, "Well, son, being bullied is an act. It's an act that takes two people, one person bullying and the other person to accept the bullying." And I said, "There's several options which you can do, but living there and accepting the role of being bullied." And again, I understand it's a much bigger process than that. But how we tend to view that, I said, so people said words to you that hurt your feeling. So you're giving them the power with those words.
Yes.
And then if you start crying, then you've reinforced what they're trying to do. And so they realize they can make you cry with words. And he got a lot better about that as time went on. And so when we see in something, our response to things is our ultimate power. That's where we're the ultimate control of things, where we're able to, I get to determine. I am the sole decider in how I interpret what you tell me, Walt.
Right.
That's it. You could come across as being, attempting to make me as mad as humanly possible and upset me, and I have to decide that. Now, I will also say there's, especially when children are involved in school, there is a physical attack kind of thing that I'm not talking
right.
about that.
Right.
That's an entirely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bullying.
That's assault.
Zero tolerance for that.
Right.
Yeah. That's assault. That if you call that something different.
Right.
But the verbal bullying or making fun of it and crying and I said, you're just, yes, the guy's a bully and you accepted the role. You accepted the role. And so he did a really good job of reframing that as time went on and didn't allow that to be, but it has been rewarded overall when we have a behavior that's rewarded that's negative from someone else. And that's such an important piece that people behave in ways that serve them.
Mm-hmm.
And negativity and defeat get a lot of people. One of my favorite, analogies is when I was, is a couple of years old now, but after I adopted Justin, one of my dreaded events, which actually ended up being very good was, you know, obviously there's a name change that has to take place. And then once the name change takes place, I have to take the court document to the Social Security office for them to change the name on Social Security card. And that could be an all day event. Fortunately, this was very short the day I was there. But when I was in the lobby of the Social Security office, I was hearing everybody there and all they were talking about is tricks or methods that they can ensure their disability.
Mm.
You know, don't tell them you're able to walk this
yeah.
way. Don't tell them this. Or one lady's like, you know, in a wheelchair and I actually hear her say, and she doesn't, you know, she's like, well, she had to go to the bathroom and she told the girl, she said, well, I don't want to walk to the bathroom in case they're watching me, so push me there.
Mm.
And so they're reinforcing
yeah.
the disability is working for them and they're fearful of losing that. Or one guy's like, I would get a job, but I would lose my health insurance or I would get a job. And so you see their fear. And again, I'm not picking or making fun. I'm just letting
no.
their behavior serves them. So
yeah.
everything we do when we learn to behave a certain way, what works for us? Negative people have been conditioned for years and years and years to think negatively and be rewarded, or their view of being rewarded, getting their needs met through negativity. So in the workplace, that yeah. just carries on. And it's worked for them in the workplace. I see people, when I used to be in the corporate world, I see people all the time that did that negative approach to get their needs met in the workplace. And nobody wanted to be around them. And it was very, very difficult. Eventually they sort of, left our workplace because that's just not what we were. We weren't a negative. I would always counsel people on the positive aspects of what we're doing. And a lot of times they didn't like that.
Mm-hmm. But it's absolutely true. And it's amazing how we do get into that trained place of believing that the negativity is what we really want. And I say that's amazing because usually, actually I would say 100% of the time, people who are reaching for negative energy of some kind are basically reaching for the scraps, but they don't realize it. They have somehow convinced themselves that's the best they can get. So they'll get whatever the best is they can get. And that if that's all they can get, that's all they can get. But at least they got that much. And that becomes part of that psychology.
Yes. Completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
I mean, you see it with political leaders a lot. The political leaders who go after issues in really, really negative ways. And you can tell, I mean, they're the ones who start the fights and so forth. And you can tell they're just struggling to get energy from that fight. It's not even the issue anymore. It's just the fight. Because if you fight hard enough, you get a little bit of an accolade from your own guys, and so you feel a little bit better. You know, do they feel great? Heck no, but they feel a little bit better. You know, they settle for so little. They settle for crumbs.
Yeah, well, and that's how, like, you know, we get into that belief, or we get into, you know, our politics today are really super negative, and it is perceived what works. And when somebody does try to be positive, they're perceived as weak. They're perceived as, you know, that's just been a reframe. I view the negativity as actually being exceptionally weak and real simple minded.
It is.
When you look at, we live in a time where incredible technology exists. We live in a time where, we have access to pretty much the entire universe's, history of knowledge at our fingertips. I can get on my cell phone information, really an answer to everything. It's all right there.
Yeah.
And I find that amazing. I love that. I love that we live in this environment. I have incredible positive people in my orbit, in my world. So I live in a world that's really positive. But there's an equal negative world out there I choose not to participate in. And as you know, I don't watch the news.
Right.
I you can't avoid hearing what's going on, but I certainly don't seek it out. And I find no value in it because it me knowing it or seeing, because there isn't really any news any longer. It's which exact spin you're putting on it. You're like,
true.
I can look at this and say, well, here's the problem. I'm spinning it this way. Okay. That's my thing. And if you don't agree with me, you're in the middle of social, you're not really an American, you know?
And yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Oh, all okay, that kind of
so
stuff.
Not,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. You're right. Also in another way that there really is no news anymore because the way that news is structured these days, if some tidbit is discovered about some ongoing story, the headline becomes that tidbit, and then the rest of the story is all the previously rehashed stuff that's been going on, you know, that was reported over the last 3 months. So none of the article is actually new. It's just the headline that's new, which is pretty sick, really, when you think about it, because it means you're basically inundating yourself as the reader with all that same crap that happened a week before and the week before that and the week before that and the week before that, and you're just rehashing it in your subconscious mind over and over and over again. No wonder you get negative. I mean, that's programming.
But, one of the things that I thought was hilarious, and again, this isn't hilarious in the big scheme of things, but it's where the answer is to what we're talking about. It's somewhere in the Middle East several years ago. There was some event happened, and we're going to go protest and we're going to burn the American flag event kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so the cameras were there, and as they panned the crowd and everybody was chanting death to America, burn the flag, and I think Obama was president, so they're burning pictures of him and jumping up and down. Well, the funny thing is, there's a guy there, totally separate. He was making the point. The CNN camera shut off and everybody stopped. Now he had a cell phone video taken, and he showed everybody, once the red light of the camera went off, everybody just stopped. It's like, well, wait a minute, are you enraged? Or, and they're talking and the crowd staying there and they're not making any noises. And then they see the light of the camera come on, the guy getting ready to start talking again. They start chanting again and burning flags again. And he goes live and it's this chaos scene until the red light of the camera goes off. It was hilarious. I'm going, oh wow, yeah. So they were programmed. They were seeking the attention of the camera. You know, I like the concept of, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, is there a sound? If a protest takes place and there's no cameras there, did it even happen?
Did it even happen? Right.
It's that same. Yeah. and so I think that's what happens with the negativity and all that. When you're around negative people, when you're around the workplace, I always try to look at the underlying. Somewhere along the way, what happened to that person to be so negative? Mm. And I've had people come up to me. One of the gentlemen in the gym that I work out with, he's an older gentleman, that this has been going on for years now. For the first 2 or 3 years, I speak to every person that I walk by, how are you this morning? And most people are fine, whatever, nod or smile or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I know people. I'm in the gym every day, so that's sort of my social place.
Right.
But there's always been this one guy that he was so grumpy, and he would literally look away or grunt at me. And every single time, I would go, hey, how are you today? And finally one day, he stops and he looks at me full of rage, and he goes, I don't like people talking to me. And you ask me how I'm doing every day. I don't want to answer you. He was furious.
Mm.
Now, I have no idea what happened in his life to make him be that way. I really don't. I can't imagine that he was born that way. But a bunch of stuff has happened in life. And I said, well, sir, I said, I apologize if in any way that upsets you. I said, but when I speak to you, I'm really doing that for me. I'm having an incredible day. I'm going to say, and I said, and tomorrow, I'm going to speak to you again, and you don't have to respond to me, and you can yell at me if you want every day, but I want to speak to you. So he stops off, and he's mad. So next day, walk by. I said, hey, how you doing? And he walks off. About the third day, I walk by. How you doing? He goes, good. How are you?
Whoa.
Good. And we never talked about what happened, and ever since then, we speak. Now, we've never had a conversation other than that one.
Right.
But it's different. It's different. I changed it. His response to me, I don't care. I wasn't speaking to him for me. I put my positivity out there. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to be around me. And it worked out in a way that we at least now, he's able to speak. And, and again, we never had the discussion of what changed or whatever happened. There are days he speaks first now.
Wow.
When I see him at the gym. Yeah. And it's a new dynamic. And I don't know anything else other than that. But this is important to understand that there are people out there, and I want to have some empathy. And again, I'm not trying to make excuses for anyone's behavior. Nobody gets to that place unless it served them. There's a lot of stuff that happens in a person's life that
right.
gets them to that place. And so when I understand, and there are also some people out there who are just not nice people. There are people out there that have stuff going on, and that's okay too. They're just never going to be in my orbit. And mm-hmm. if I'm at work and I can't help but be in their orbit, they're going to be in my orbit in the manner which I choose to interpret them in my orbit.
That's such a key point, too, because one of the big benefits, and we talked earlier about, you know, just putting that person into that positive place in your mind and, you know, kind of making them in your mind act out in this really, really great way that you'd like to see them act, and then watching to see what happens. I mean, not necessarily expecting they're going to adopt that behavior, but something's going to change, and watching what happens when it changes. You described a really nice story about how, I mean, you didn't do that necessarily intentionally. You did it because of, like you said, you just like to be friendly to people. But how interesting, the guy actually had two choices from the point of view of the way Abraham explains things. Because you had put out a very high vibration, he was at a low vibration. He could do one of two things. He could either raise his vibration, or he could actually disappear from your life. Because it's impossible for him to stay in your life if you're high vibe and he's low vibe. Can't happen. So you didn't necessarily do anything intentionally. It's not like you were trying to manipulate a situation. You just were who you were. And ultimately, he made the decision to raise his vibration, which is a really cool thing.
And that's what we can do. You know, we can only do our side of the law of attraction.
Right.
And you can't force anybody into change. However, by maintaining your positivity, their negativity, it can attempt to override your positivity and make you negative.
Mm-hmm.
Or eventually, as you're saying, they move on. That's a very broad statement. And again, in The Secret, she talks about that very, does a really good job with that.
Yeah.
She gives a couple of examples. One in particular is a gentleman who, homosexual man that was in a work environment.
Right.
Felt he was really looked at in a different way and treated poorly. He changed his view of everything in his workplace. It just all fell into place very quickly.
Right. Nasha mentioned that in the comments section, the exact same scene. And that is a cool scene because he changed the way he felt about how other people responded to him. He had this mindset that because he was gay, other people were going to abuse him. And so they abused him. And then with his coach's help, he changed that mindset. And all of a sudden, those people either quit, got transferred to another place, or just simply kind of disappeared. And, whoa, what kind of result is that? That's fabulous.
Right. This is a real quick story, but I have a powerlifting friend from Russia that visits, and he's gay.
Mm.
He's 6'6" and 390 pounds.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah, and so we're in the gym one day working out, and there's a guy, and he doesn't look gay. I mean, he doesn't act gay, whatever that really means. He has those same qualities. He's just gay.
Yeah.
And so there's this really country redneck guy that was working out beside us, and he made some comment using a derogatory comment towards homosexuals, and my friend was there, and he goes, excuse me? And, the guy looked at him and goes, yeah, he said, oh yeah, I can't believe those, you know, and he used a derogatory comment that are allowed to walk the streets. And he goes, my friend goes, I'm gay. And the look on the guy's face was, I wish I had the camera.
I'm sure.
Like, yeah, you're not. Yeah. And he goes, well, I wasn't really talking about you. And he goes, yeah. And I go, now my friend is not going to do anything. He's a very kind man, but to see this guy's face, it took him about 4 seconds to get off the gym floor in his gym bag and drop the door. He realized, I don't want to be there anymore. And we laughed about it. And he never said anything. My friend never said anything there, but he just said, you know, and the way he worded it, it was kind, but it was hilarious. And so, you know, people are going to put that energy out. Now, that energy didn't serve him that day, so
not
he may come up with a new way of, might look around going, I don't want to say that again.
Yeah, really.
So that really isn't on topic, but I just thought it was a great story. But we have so much going for us internally that when we realize how other people affect me is completely up to me. And there's a separate thing if somebody's putting your hands on you and that's assault, as you said.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. But if I am offended by what, you know, I've had people say, I hope this doesn't offend you. And I go, you don't have the power to. Are you kidding? you don't have that power. To be offended, you have to give the offending party the power to offend you. You're giving it away.
That's right.
And that's, once you understand that, everything gets a lot easier.
Absolutely. There's a quote that comes from the Abraham book, The Law of Attraction, The Basics of the Teachings of Abraham. And I love it so much. It talks exactly about this. I love it so much that I actually copied it out pasted it into a Word document so that I can just grab it whenever I need it and send it to somebody who is expressing something that tells me that they need to hear this. Typically somebody who's gone on a rant on Facebook and, you know, complaining about how terrible everything is in life, and how they're being mistreated and all this stuff. I want to read it to you and get your reaction on it. It's entitled, "Their Disapproval of Me is Their Lack. If there are others who see something in you that they do not approve of, most often you see their disapproval reflected back through their eyes, and you feel that you've gone wrong in some way. But we say to you, it's not your lack, it's theirs. It's their inability to be the allower that brings forth their negative emotion. It's not your imperfection. And similarly, when you feel negative emotion, because you have seen something in others that you do not want to see, it's not their lack, it's your own. So when you make the decision that you want to see only that which pleases you, then you will begin to see only that which pleases you. And all of your experiences will bring forth positive emotion because, by the law of attraction, you will attract only unto you that which is in harmony with what you want."
I love that.
Isn't that great?
I think that is so, it's so well, and that's where I just love, you know, the stuff of, the Abraham Hicks material.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so well said. It hits home with when you're basically the power of all of that is your understanding. That's sort of the biggest life hack there is.
Right.
This is up to you. All of this is up to you. It goes against a lot of what's being taught in psychology today and stuff. It because we look really hard to look at everybody. All of this exists within you. Your power to turn that switch on and off is simply your biggest power. The power of your perspective is your ultimate power. It's what it because it eventually gets into the subconscious of your perspective, how you're viewing things, and that becomes what you're attracting in the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so important to remember who is responsible for what in an exchange like that. We tend to reverse the roles, and it's important to remember, no, their stuff is their stuff, my stuff is my stuff. It's not the other way around.
And often, and not every case, but often some of the things that will upset you the most or get you wound up the most are things that you recognize in yourself that are out of harmony as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see somebody behaving in a way that you've behaved in the past or in my addictive behavior, one of my most hated at the time, and I use that term on purpose, I was very much the role of a victim early. And, when I was in my addiction, everything goes wrong. You know, I've been dealt an unfair hand and all of that. That is, I just like that mindset so much. And I was fulfilling that. I was getting exactly that back in my life as I was saying it or feeling it. And so it became a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's an interesting thing you said too, because you said you liked that mindset and what you're describing didn't sound all that wonderful. That's an interesting way to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a paradox when you're dealing with it because Your reward system is, it could get what we perceive as pleasure is simply, you know, your pleasure may be my pain.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand that has a lot to do with our individual experiences and again, what has served us and what rewards us, it's just amazing how all that ties together. But you can overcome every single thing that has happened or been programmed because, you know, like the old saying, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to what happens to you that matters. That's it. That's it. We could sort of wrap it up with that if we needed to. That's the answer, but it's a lot more difficult than it sounds, but it is the answer that you get to choose. You get to view it. You get to look at it. You get to process it and you get to do it that way at your, whatever filter you want to look at.
Right.
You know, if you want to, the story that we've told before, several times has been about the young lady that, she moved into a new home. Her and her husband moved into a new home and she was looking out at the back window that she could see the neighbor's backyard. and she mentioned to her husband, she said, you know, that lady needs to get a different laundry detergent. Her sheets are yellow.
Oh, dear.
And, and he rolled his eyes and, okay. And why, you know, why are you even looking at that? And then two or three more times she made the comment, boy, she just really isn't very good at doing laundry. And all of a sudden one Saturday she goes out and she looks, she says, oh my goodness, she must have got some new laundry detergent. It looks really clear. I mean, her clothes look clean. And her husband goes, no, I cleaned our window. And the idea that the filter she was looking through was dirty. The filter that she was looking at that woman's laundry was dirty. And so her perception was the woman was lacking in her skill set because then the truth is her vision was clouded or her vision was filtered through a negative lens. When your lens is negative and you're looking at the world through negative, that's what you're expecting to work. That's how you think it operates. When you remove that lens, you see an entirely different new way of seeing things.
It definitely gives us a new perspective on the concept of dirty laundry. It isn't the laundry, it's the window.
It's that, or it's like, you know, you get a new pair of glasses for somebody that needs glasses, you upgrade their prescription, and you're like, oh my goodness, wow, you know, where it the lens in which you're viewing the world has a major impact. You know, the perspective of people from inner city Baltimore of the world and the versus, you know, in the wealthy area of Dallas, Texas or something are very different perspectives. They're the same world, but they're very different.
Very true. Yeah. It reminds me of something that I think it was Louise told me. It may have been a co-host. I can't remember for sure. But somebody told me recently that there is a new technology out that enables people who are, quote, colorblind, unquote, to be able to see full color. Somebody who's colorblind is usually somebody who just can't see greens and reds. They can see yellows, blues, oranges, you know, that kind of thing, but they can't see greens and reds. And this technology uses very similar kinds of things to what regular television does to create colors in the middle and be able to show them those colors within their ability to see with the rods and cones they actually have in their eyes. And they put the glasses on and they're stunned. They're stunned with how powerful they're seeing these new colors they've never seen before. It just becomes an eye-opening experience, literally an eye-opening experience. And that's what I think about when you talk about how, you know, that perception makes all the difference in the world. You get a new perception. It's like, whoa, this is incredible.
Yeah. And that's your perception, your perspective. When you spend an entire lifetime of viewing the world through a negative lens or the lens of a victim or all this, or it's unfair and, it isn't that you're wrong or you're bad. It's just what how you developed your life and how you, you said in the beginning that the ability of of Sarah to flip the script and realize she wasn't being grateful enough. Once she was able to do that, she instantly was rewarded. And then the more rewards you get, then being positive rewards you. And, and being positive, it doesn't mean every day it's just glitzy and beautiful and there's no problem. It's understanding that no matter what happens, you have the ability to handle it and filter it. Instead of being victimized by it, you have the ability to handle this. And that's the difference, is how can you look at it? I've had horrible events happen in my life that I will never tell you are positive events, but I will tell you my ability to filter them is where my strength lies.
Right. Hey, before we're done here, I want to remind people, if you're not yet a subscriber, please become one. The easiest way to do that, just go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net. Click the right icon there. They're marked pretty clearly, and it'll just walk you through the process. And then you get all of our episodes coming right to your smartphone every single day. And with that thought in mind, Joel, thank you so much for your weekly wisdom. I look forward to it every week. The only sad part for me is when it's done for the week. But, hey, I get to do it again next week. That's a good thing.
We'll be there next week, for sure, Walt.
Absolutely, Joel. And we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.